MG has a piece of advice. Never operate heavy machinery while listening to the Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast. For the right advice and over 90,000 products, head to Kennards Hire, kennards.com.au.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush,
you cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Liam Flanagan here, and we've got questions that need answering. Is Jason Taylor really in the mix to coach Manly? Where is Tevita Pangai Jr. going to be playing next year? And how many Clearys are there going to be at the Panthers in 2019? Brent Reed will join us shortly to answer all of those questions, but Ryan Girdler joins me right now. Good evening, Girds.
Hey, Liam, how you doing?
I'm well, but the other big question that's floating around is the cooler really coming out of retirement?
I think so. I think it's time, yeah. It's been about 12 months and through popular demand, and there's a big race on this Saturday afternoon, and it's the Everest. I think it's the world's most expensive race. So if he's going to come out of semi-retirement, this is the time. I think we'll see him
the Everest
this afternoon, later on the show.
The richest race on turf. Hugh Bowman, who is riding in that race, rides Brave Smash on Saturday in the Everest, also sits aboard a horse by the name of Winx every now and then. He'll be joining us in about 10 minutes' time. Aussie basketball star Brad Newley of the Sydney Kings will also be joining us just after 6:30. But up next, Gerds, quickly, yep, as we go to the song, who'll coach Manly next year?
That's the million-dollar question at the moment, Liam.
Who'll coach Penrith next year?
I think it depends on, you know, what the owners want to do with the club and whether they're willing to invest for the future or make a decision based on what they think is going to get them through at the present. Hopefully for the Manly fans and the NRL, it's they make a decision based on what's best for the club in the future, and they invest some money in there and they make a real statement with their with their appointment. What?
Manly,
you don't agree?
I've got no idea, but a man who does know, Brent Reed from The Australian, will join us next to give us the answers to that and a whole bunch more. Tevita Pangai Jr., Matt Lodge, where are they going to be playing next season? Could it be in Sydney? We'll ask Reedy next. This is The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Hugh Bowman, the man who gets to ride the Supermare Winx around racetracks all around Australia, will join us in about 5 minutes' time. We do the show thanks to our friends at Kennards Hire. For projects small and big, we've got what it takes to make your job easy. Kennards Hire, head into your nearest branch or check out kennards.com.au. They've been around for over 70 years, so they are very, very good at what they do. Ryan Girdler joins me this evening. And Girds, it's time to do this.
Reedy,
you've got mail.
It's time.
You have mail.
For Reedy's mail.
Well done, Reedy.
Well, Liam, you know he's the best in the business, don't you? I mean,
I do.
I know you listen to the grand final show, but he came on at about 3:30 on Sunday afternoon before that big day, and he announced that Cooper Cronk was going to play before anyone else. So I don't know if you've checked his invoices lately, Liam, but I'd imagine they have gone up substantially, Reedy.
Well, you may have embellished that slightly, Girds, but I'm willing to cop it.
No, mate, it was massive. I bet you still, I bet everyone's still pulling you up in the street about it and talking about that moment.
Well, you know what it's like on the beaches, Girds. You know what it's like being a celebrity on the northern beach.
Yeah, no one knows anything up there, do they?
Brent Reed reports news like Ricky Bobby drives cars. If you're not first, you're last. That's how he reports the news. Yeah. Brent Reed from the Australian, integral part of the Triple M NRL team. You've had a quiet week, quite a couple of weeks since the grand final, but there are unanswered questions going on in the NRL. Let's start with the Manly coaching job. Jason Taylor was reported yesterday is in the mix for the gig.
Yeah, look, Jason Taylor's actually in Thailand at the moment on holidays, and he actually sent me a text a little while ago saying he's actually not interested in the job. So if Manly are interested in Jason Taylor, the feeling's not reciprocated. So we won't see Jason Taylor there next year. It's a really intriguing situation. I think everyone's a bit bemused as to what's going on. Look, I wouldn't rule anything at the moment with Manly. I mean, if they wanted John Cartwright, you would have thought they'd have announced it by now and done the deal. So I suspect something else is going on. Look, this is going to sound really left field, but I wouldn't put a line through Des Hasler. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying the situation's that up in the air at the moment there that don't rule out Des.
Hey, what, now, what, Reedy, what's going to happen? I mean, where are the owners at with all of this? Are they look like sort of hanging around long term, or does it feel like they're going to make a decision based on just to fill a hole for the present and then potentially move on and maybe sell the club off in the next couple of years?
Well, everything I hear is that they're not going to sell Gers. And I sat down with Rick Penn, who, you know, Scott's obviously the chairman, but Rick's the guy with the money there. And Rick told me earlier this year they had no plans to sell the club. They're both overseas at the moment. Both Scott and Rick are away overseas. So, and this is part of the problem, right? The owners are always overseas. Scott spends half his life overseas. And Lyle Gorman, I've tried to ring Lyle the last 2 days, and Lyle's a bit of a mystery man. Hard man to track down. So, you know, getting a handle on this situation is really difficult. But I expect there'll be an announcement next week. I think that, you know, from what I understand, fans who've been ringing the club to complain about what's going on have been told that there'll be an announcement next week, and it's something exciting. Now, if it's something exciting, there's not a lot of things that excite people at Manly other than their own.
Well, I mean, who's saying it's exciting?
Well, apparently that's what people who are ringing the club have been being told by people at the club. There'll be an announcement next week, and it's something exciting. So that's why I'm saying don't put the line through Des Hasler. John Cartwright, I wouldn't think, would excite, you know, as good a coach as John is. Manly fans, that's not exciting for them, right? But Des Hasler's exciting.
Yep, that's a fair point.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not ruling anything out with Manly at the moment.
Given the fact that November 1's usually when a club goes back that hasn't been involved in the finals, so there's not a lot of time. There's a couple of weeks to go.
No.
And they think that the Manly fans should be excited about announcing a coach a week out from when the preseason starts. I don't know if they'd be that excited about that, would they?
It's a ridiculous situation that club at the moment. I don't think there's anyone in the game who thinks that things are being well run there at the moment. It's a mess, and you know, the sooner they sort the coach out, the better for everyone. But it's just farcical at the moment, to be honest.
All right, Reedy, let's jump on to the other vacant coaching jobs or unknown coaching roles at the moment. Penrith Panthers, who's in charge in 2019?
I'd expect Ivan to be there. I still think Ivan won't be at the West Tigers next year. I'd be stunned if he is. Very interesting, though. Brisbane have now started interviewing candidates for their job. My understanding is it's a shortlist of roughly four, and those four people are Anthony Seibold, Michael Maguire, Kevin Walters, and Jason Demetriou, the assistant coach there. So that process has started. I reckon that'll finish pretty quickly, and they'll make an announcement on what they do. Then the ball's in Wayne Bennett's court, whether he stays around for another year or he goes to the West Tigers, where they've already talked terms with him. They know what his terms are, what he wants. The issue is it doesn't marry up with Ivan. If they let Ivan go straight away, by the sounds of it, Wayne's committed to being at Brisbane next year and then leaving. So it's a really precarious situation there with those two clubs. But knowing the way people feel about Ivan at the West Tigers at the moment and the way the fans feel about him, I don't know how he can be there next year. I just don't think it can work.
All right, and quickly, Reedy, these players that hang in limbo along with Wayne Bennett from the Broncos, Tevita Pangai Jr. and Matt Lodge, we know about the amazing season Tevita Pangai Jr. has just put together, and Matt Lodge as well, obviously comes with the baggage, but they are still unsigned as of next year.
Yeah, the Tevita one's, it's a bit difficult, right, because he's in a management dispute. The contract doesn't end until October 31, I think, so from November 1... he can do a deal without his current manager. That's what's holding that process up. I'd be stunned if he's not at the Brisbane Broncos. And Lodge, I'm not sure what the hold-up is there, but again, I'd expect Matt Lodge to be at the Brisbane next year. He just won their best forward for the year. They're not going to let a player like that go, and I think he feels a debt to Brisbane. So I think that's more about maybe the term of the deal rather than whether he goes or whether he stays. I'd be stunned if either of those guys aren't at Brisbane next year.
All right, and last, is Cam Smith got this deal done with the Melbourne Storm, Reedy, before we let you go?
They haven't announced it yet. It'll be done. It's a formality. He'll be at Melbourne next year, and he'll play another year at least. So that'll be done, I would expect, pretty soon.
All right, well, Gerds, I assume you'll be getting up to Manly with that very exciting announcement next week.
He might get it. Maybe you're the exciting announcement, Gerds.
I've just been keeping it under my hat, Reedy.
Major sponsor, Girdler's Grind.
Yeah,
he can afford it too.
You think so?
A record deal.
Well, I haven't seen you around lately, Reedy. I could do with a little bit extra if you're local. Where have you been hanging out, Reedy?
Well, you charge me double, so that's why I don't come.
Where have you been hiding out? I haven't seen you around lately.
I was actually in Byron Bay last week.
Oh, there you go.
But I'm back now.
Talking about overpaid journalists.
Covering some golf tournament up there.
No, I was actually on holidays with the family. I couldn't afford Byron. I had to stay at Suffolk Park. But, you know, that's the battling life for Jerno. But I'll pop in this week, Gerds.
Okay.
Brent Reedy was the man who reported Cooper Cronk would play in the grand final 3 hours before everyone else. We appreciate your time on the Rush Hour with MG. See you, Reedy.
See you, Reedy.
Cheers, boys.
Up next, Hugh Bowman joins us to talk the Everest. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Liam Flanagan here, joined by Ryan Girdler this evening. Brad Newley from the Sydney Kings will join us in about 10 minutes or so to talk about their season over against the Adelaide 36ers this Saturday, Gerds. But first, Gerds, 4:15 Saturday afternoon, the world's richest race on turf will be taking place at Royal Randwick, the Everest. And excitingly, at the end of tonight's show, the cooler returns. And you are going to be talking us through the Everest tonight, aren't you?
Had a good look over the field, and the cooler's ready to roll. Back after being off, he's been on the wagon for almost 18 months, so he's ready to unleash later on.
I'm equal parts nervous and excited about the cooler's return, but I'm very excited about this man joining us on the Rush Hour with MG. He'll have the ride aboard Brave Smash in the Everest. It is Hugh Bowman. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Liam. How are you?
Good, Hugh. Straight off the bat, what is the feeling among the jockeys about this race? You rode in it last year aboard Clearly Innocent, didn't get the chocolates, obviously, but what's the feeling amongst the jockeys heading into a race like the Everest?
It's a very big deal. Last year, it was a little bit of a strange feeling, the build-up, because it was the inaugural running. Obviously, any race worth this amount of money is astronomical, and there's a certain amount of tension and hype, but this particular race, because it's so new and it's just been invented, it's got an extra bit of charisma about it. What I noticed the most was the young people at the races and the enthusiasm that they were showing and the interest that they were showing in the actual event itself. And, you know, I guess it's like a new breed, and it's really, really quite unique.
What do you make of the conditions up here, Huey? Obviously, we've had rain for the last couple of weeks. What does that do for your chances on Saturday afternoon?
Well, it's not going to hurt them. The horse doesn't have much form on wet track, believe it or not. He's actually originally from Japan, and they rarely race on soft ground over there. But all the reports from the stable are that any work he's done on wet or rain-affected ground, he just thrives on it. So I think his chances would have been very good on top of the ground, but I think they're only enhanced by the wet conditions that are around.
Now, Hugh, I imagine you weren't one of the people down there with torches and phones trying to disrupt the barrier draw at the Sydney Opera House. Did you like seeing the grand nature of the reveal for the barrier draw?
Yeah, I thought it was a great initiative and probably got more publicity than they bargained for. But, you know, I think it served the purpose.
Hugh, there's a horse by the name of Winx that goes all right, 28 consecutive wins. The longer that winning streak continues, you as the jockey, does the pressure increase on you to keep winning aboard such an amazing horse that the whole country watches every time it runs now?
Well, I'm not going to lie. The anticipation and the expectation can't be ignored, and it does build with each run, which is interesting. It's like a new experience, but, you know, we've been together for a long time now, and, you know, she's capable of doing things that other horses can't. You know, at the end of the day, I can only do my job, which is ride her and keep her comfortable, and if she's comfortable, she's going to deliver. But I must admit, last weekend when I was stuck inside and couldn't dictate my own or our own destiny, so to speak, when the slow pace in the middle stages, I couldn't move forward into the race. I was a little concerned, but she overcame it with flying colours, and yeah, really looking forward to the unprecedented fourth Cox Plate in a few weeks' time.
You hear a lot of mixed reports about her demeanour and how she is away from the track. I mean, what's her personality like, you?
Look, she's very uncomplicated. She's very simple. There's, you know, she's a businesswoman. She likes to get on with business. You know, she gets a bit playful, I understand, on her quiet days, you know, when she's not doing a lot of work. I ride her in all the main gallops, but, yeah, she doesn't turn her hair when I'm on her. She just walks out, canters off and does her work, and especially if I work with company, which isn't too often. She usually works on her own, but if she's with a company, the afterburners, I can feel them turn on, and she's probably the most competitive athlete I've ever had anything to do with.
Do you have, I mean, obviously you've ridden a lot of great horses over the years. I mean, do you have those sort of relationships often? Do they come along that often? Not the fact that she's so good at what she does, but just that the relationship that you have with, you know, the animal.
Yeah, look, I guess I've built up a relationship with her. I understand her very well. I often get asked, does she know that it's me that's on her? I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But, you know, I do understand her very well, and, you know, I just leave her alone and let her do what she wants to do, really. I mean, unless she plays up, and I tell her in no uncertain terms that she's to behave herself like I would any other horse. But as she's gotten older, she understands what she needs to do and how she should behave. And like I said, it's really just a case of not panicking when I'm on her.
Well, if you can make race number 29 a little bit less close, I don't know if poor Bruce McAvaney's heart can take another close one where you get stuck inside like the last one, Hugh. Now, Hugh, before we let you go, you might have heard me mention in the intro there, have you heard of the cooler?
Oh, I haven't, I'm sorry.
Well, you've heard about the idea of coolers in casinos. Well, Ryan Girdler is the cooler of the racehorsing. Well,
it's okay.
Okay.
Hughie, I haven't tipped. I've never tipped Winks, obviously, which has been a good thing. And I'm not on your horse on Saturday afternoon either.
Well, it sounds to me like you've been on the sidelines for a while, and you've picked a pretty hard race to come back to, because anyone of the 12 of them could win this race, and it's literally that close.
I think that's even better for me. Hughie?
Well, Hugh, if you listen through to the end of the show, you'll be able to put a big line through one of them. Whoever Gerd's tips has got zero hope. Hugh Bowman got the ride aboard Brave Smash this Saturday in the Everest. Best of luck for that race and for the rest of the Spring Carnival aboard the Mighty Mare Winks.
Thanks, Hughie.
Appreciate it, guys.
He's one of Australia's leading jockeys, Gerd's star.
Yeah, put a little bit of a dent in the ego of the cooler, though, didn't he? Never heard of him. But anyway, best of luck on the weekend. Hughie, don't fall off.
But that was Ryan Girdler saying that, not the cooler. It's very different. For those people out there wondering, the cooler was a character from Saturday NRL. Gerd used to try and tip horse races. Never usually went very well. He's been in retirement
That's
for
debatable.
12 months.
He's a people's champion. He always went for the outside of the long shot, the value for money shot, Liam. And he's made a lot of people happy, paid a lot of mortgages in his day.
Well, he's going to tell you who the cooler thinks will win the Everest at the end of the show this evening. Coming up very shortly, Brad Newley from the Sydney Kings. And, Gerds, something from my sporting past
has come
to the fore today.
What's that?
Well, I was a ball boy in another life.
Were you
and
really?
There's been some developments on the rights of ball kids around the world.
So I guess being from South Australia, it must have been, you know, an AFL ball boy or...
Well, tennis.
Tennis ball boy.
Yeah, scooting across the net.
Is that right?
The rights of ball kids have taken a big shit. I'll tell you about it very shortly.
The mind boggles, Liam.
The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M, or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. The cooler... The return of the cooler, it is just 15 minutes away tonight. There's a couple of games going on this evening. The New Zealand Breakers taking on the Brisbane Bullets. The Adelaide 36ers taking on the Perth Wildcats. But the Sydney Kings, that's who we're all about here on the Rush Hour with MG. And they start their season this Saturday against the Adelaide 36ers at Qdos Bank Arena. Tickets are available at Ticketek. And we bring in one of the players who's going to be a star of this side this year, Gerds, under the shadow that is Andrew Bogut, Brad Newley has been somewhat forgotten about. Brad Newley, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, thanks for the pump up, mate. Great to be with you.
Oh, look, Brad, I don't mean that in a negative sense, but I'll start it off by saying this. Shane Hill was asked today what was the best team ever assembled in the history of the NBL, and his response on his social channels was the 2018-2019 Sydney Kings. So Shane the Hammer Hill has labelled your side the best side ever assembled in the NBL history.
Yeah, it's a big one from Hammer. He doesn't hold back. We'll take that as a bit of inspiration, really. The team's been coming along really nicely in the off-season, which has been a huge off-season. We haven't played a game since the 8th of February. So the boys are coming along really well. You know, we're hearing those kind of reports. You know, the most important thing we do is block that out, just focus on what we can control, and that is this upcoming game and not all the talk.
What does a guy like Andrew Bogut coming to your club actually mean to the group in relation to, you know, the way that you guys prepare and the experience that you can pick up just from being around a guy that's been able to achieve so much in the game?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to have played with him at a junior level, so we've got a pretty good relationship. And I know personally, if I look over my shoulder and see the big fella back there, all 7'1" of him protecting that painting, it gives me inspiration to really crawl into my man on defence and get out and run an offence. I think having him around has just really raised the standard of the club, and, you know, we want to reward the club, you know, while having some big wins this year and getting back in the playoffs.
Can you confirm he's all right for us, Brad? Because he did have a bit of a collision with teammate Tom Wilson at practice. Bit of ice on the knees, okay?
A little bit of ice on the knee. You know, once we hit our 30s, sometimes we just have to ice up our muscles if we get a little bit sore. But he's had a great off season. I don't think he's missed a session. So just precautionary, and he'll be fine.
What about some of the other guys that you've brought into the club? Is there any names that we should look out for? What's young Bowen Jr. like, and David Wa from Japan as well?
Brian's actually a really interesting project. It's an initiative of the NBL now. They want to integrate some young American kids who didn't go the college route and have used the NBL as a bit of a springboard into the NBA, like Ferguson did with Adelaide a few years ago. He'll turn some heads, not only with his game, but also his hairstyle. He's got a bit of a blonde mop going on up top there. So he'll be a bit of a showman, and it's good because we play the same position. So he's lucky enough to learn a few tricks off me, and it's good for me to be able to chase around the young blokes all day. Also Daniel Kickett, who is one of the best shooters in the history of the NBL. So we've got some good talent across the board. Chucky and Jerome Randall, Kevlish, things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, handy when you can throw a few former MVPs of the competition in there. Now, Brad, one of the great things about basketball, wherever it's played, is trash talking. And I want to give you the platform here and now on the Rush Hour with MG just to start the fire, you know, spark it with anybody you choose, whether it's the Adelaide 36ers for this weekend or Melbourne United, the defending champ. Just throw it out there. Is there anyone, a player you're going to target? Is there something, a team you want to spark that rivalry with here for us now?
Well, I have to be really careful, Liam, because I actually own a house down Adelaide, so I don't rubbish them. I don't want my house to be standing at the end of this interview. So I've got to be very careful there. Melbourne's probably going to be our biggest rival this year. And it's been unfortunate we haven't played them. We haven't won at home here in Sydney versus them. We played better away. So we want to kind of make our home here in Sydney a bit of a fortress. So we want to be setting teams when they come into Sydney that they're going to know what's happened to them. They're not just going to come here and have an easy win. This is going to be a bit of a house of pain for us, and we're hoping our fans can get out there in big numbers and really make teams feel it. So I definitely think Melbourne will probably be our biggest rivals.
Well, Brad, your biggest rival as a junior growing up at the Forestville Eagles apparently was the guy, yeah, I think he was an age group above you, in Liam Flanagan, who's the host of the Rush Hour with MG. He stands at about 4'6". I don't know if you remember him at all. Did he have a big impact on your career as you were coming through the grades?
I don't think I actually saw him.
You had to look over to the bench.
My mum might have coached him at a young age. So
she did?
I used to come in and train with the under-10s when I was about 5 or 6 and all the other boys were 9. And I used to get in trouble from my mum, and she'd kick me out because I'd be carrying on too much. So that was a sign of things to come, really. But, yeah, good old club, the Forestville Eagles. Give them a plug every day of the week.
I've been taking credit for your career for a very long time, Brad, telling anybody who'll listen to me that I had some sort of impact. Gerd, you say I'm about 4'6". I was 4'6" then. I'm 4'6" now. I'm still waiting for the growth spurt to kick in. Brad Newley from the Sydney Kings, we appreciate your time on the Rush Hour with MG. We certainly look forward to speaking with you and your teammates throughout the season. Your season kicks off on Saturday against the Adelaide 36ers at Kudos Bank Arena. If you haven't been to a Sydney Kings game before, Brad's just described it then. He wants it to be a house of pain this year. Grab a ticket. They're available at Ticketex. It's going to be a bumper year for the Sydney Kings. Brad, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Gerds, now, I mightn't have been much chop at basketball.
Yeah.
But I was, I was one of the best ball boys that the Adelaide Hardcourt International Tennis Tournament ever saw.
Okay. Was that your favourite surface, hardcourt?
Yeah, although I did do a Davis Cup tie once on grass.
Yeah, and when did you stop this? A couple of years ago?
I'll tell you more next. The Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
I just count money, that's all I do. I count my millions.
The Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Liam Flanagan here, joined by Ryan Girdler this evening. Now, Girds, you're about to bring the cooler back very, very shortly, but in my earlier years, I am proud to say that I was a ball kid at the Adelaide International Hardcourt Tennis Tournament. Doesn't exist anymore.
Did that used to attract some big names?
Absolutely. Well, it's Leighton Hewitt first won it when he was 16.
Yeah, right.
Andre Agassi played it. Todd Woodbridge is a former winner.
And when's that on? Is that kind of one of the tournaments in the lead up to the Australian Open, yeah?
Yeah, it was. Now, the reason I bring it up is because today's a big day for ball kids all around the world. Wimbledon commercial director Mick Desmond has come out and said that the tournament next year will fine players who do not treat the ball kids with appropriate respect. This is off the back of Fernando Verdasco at the Shenzhen Open shaking his fist at a kid for bringing his towel over slowly.
Sounds like a knee-jerk reaction to me, Liam. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of tough love. in the heat of the battle, to be honest.
But not at your opponent, sure, at the umpire.
Turned out okay.
Oh, I carry deep wounds, Gerds. But I thought, given this huge step forward for ball kids around the world, I wanted to open some, you know, or just, you know, soothe my soul of some old wounds that still fester.
Don't
I want to name and shame.
You're better than that.
I'm not.
You are better than that.
I'm not. First of all, player I'd like to name and shame, Gustavo Kuerten, former world number one.
Yep.
He played at the Adelaide Hardcourt a couple of times.
Was he Brazilian?
He is Brazilian.
Yep.
He would ask for four balls before every serve. Now, you know how they turn to the...
Yeah.
They only need two balls.
Mm-hmm.
He would ask for four, and then he would drop the two that he didn't want at his feet. Didn't
and
hit them back to us.
Hit them back.
Just inconsiderate.
And you'd have to scamper out and pick them up.
He'd be ready to serve, and you'd be scampering all over the court trying to pick these balls up.
Yeah.
You've got to be better than that, Gustavo.
Yep,
next player I'd like to talk about, Yevgeny Kafelnikov,
mm-hmm.
another former world number one who played at the tournament, Russian. Just general demeanour.
Big temper.
Big temper.
He had a big temper.
A big temper and just general demeanour towards the ball kids. Not good enough.
Well, thank you, please, for the towel or just
exactly.
the throwback?
No, we didn't have to carry towels in those days, Gerds.
Is that right?
No
so
towels for us.
One job to do and you're whinging about that.
No, but the biggest one. Roger Federer.
No.
Gerds. Now, he's come out and said that his fellow professionals need to treat the ball kids better.
Yeah.
Gerds, in a qualifying match at the Adelaide Hardcourt International one year, Roger Federer hit my mate with a tennis ball in the nuts twice.
Accidentally, of course.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get the chance to ask.
I mean, there's a saying, you don't piss on statues. I mean, they reckon that he had a really bad temper as a junior coming through. Obviously, now he's changed his ways. Is that true?
I don't know. He did hit my mate in the nuts, though. It's the Rush Hour with MG. Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. The Cooler is next.
For a deeper dive into footy, hear the Triple M Grill Team live weekday mornings on 104.9 Triple M. Or get the catch-up podcast daily from the Triple M app.
It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M, and I'm literally rubbing my hands together with excitement because after thousands and thousands of requests and at least 12 months on the bench, this is back.
You're cooler.
Best cooler there ever was, and I need him back.
You're not telling me to the cooler.
The cooler.
All right, everyone. Chill.
That's right, Liam. It's time to quieten the people. And everywhere he goes, well, the cooler, he comes into contact with people that have benefited from his skill sets. And with the Everest, the world's biggest, most expensive race on the weekend, there's no better time to come back. So the cooler has had a good look over the field. Now, this isn't an easy race to be thrust into after a spell on the wagon, Liam.
No.
You know, it's a quality field and he's had a good look at it, and I think the cooler has come up with a winner.
I can't remember the cooler referring him to himself in the third person so
much.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Now, the cooler likes his fillies not to be carrying too much weight, Liam, as you know.
Oh.
Especially in the wet and sloppy conditions. And that's how it's going to be on Saturday. It's even better if she's recently had a spell and been keeping on the down low over the weekend, and this one certainly has. So she'll be up and about on the weekend in what should be a very short gallop ran at a hectic pace.
Yeah.
What gave the cooler even more confidence this weekend, Liam, is the fact that the brown is back in play and will definitely know when to use the pacifier if she starts labouring in the home stretch.
I am so lost.
She's a Newcastle girl. She's a Newcastle girl heading to the Big Smoke on a Saturday night. What could be more promising? The coolest tip for the Everest is number 9 in her time. She's paying $12. She will win, and the cooler is out. A cool change. It's nice to be back, baby.
It's nice to have you back, but it's been a while and the cooler has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's a little dark, isn't he? He's a little dark. He likes to take the race guide up to the local, have a seafood basket, a couple of schooners and just let people know the winners.
Wearing nothing but a trench coat.
Whatever it takes, Liam. You know that.
In her time, the coolest selection for the Everest. So you can put a line through it. It's no chance.
Don't you dare.
Ryan Girdler, outstanding. Thank you for bringing back the cooler, and thank you for being with me this evening on the Rush Hour with MG. Anthony Maroon and James Hooper in tomorrow. He's Ryan. I'm Liam. Stay random, Sydney.
Tools down. That has been the Triple M Rush Hour Catch-Up Podcast for Kennards Hire. They've got what it takes to make your job easy. Kennards.com.au.